Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. You know, tonight is kind of a really cool show for me. It's a family-oriented show. My guest this evening has truly been in my life for quite some time. You know, I watched him grow up as a fighter and become a tremendous warrior. He's getting ready to partake in Legacy Fighting Alliance this weekend in Branson, Missouri. And, you know, he's part of my Glory MMA fam, too, also. So when you put those two together, I'm going to have a little bit of leeway towards this fighter when it comes to this event this weekend in Legacy, but, you know, that's life. With that being said, I'm going to welcome Kyle James Knoblett to the program. Kyle, how are you doing this evening?
Doing great, Don. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing tremendous, bro. I'm doing tremendous. You know, I just seen you this last weekend at the Ozarks Combat League, you know, thrown by Zach Cummings and Brian Green. It was tremendous to see you. You know, I don't get to see you very often as I've been on kind of off the radar lately with my surgeries. I haven't been able to be up to the Glory. You know, you're set to fight in Legacy Fighting Alliance Friday, September 1st. What does it mean to you, Kyle, to get this bittersweet fight for Legacy?
Yeah, you cut out there, Don.
I said, what does it mean for you to get this bittersweet fight in Legacy this weekend? Or this next weekend coming up, I apologize.
What do you mean bittersweet? What do you mean by bittersweet?
Well, because you truly deserve to be on a bigger platform. And we kind of talked about this before we went live on the air. And, you know, there was a chance for you to be in the Contender Series. And certain situations came to aspiration, and you kind of had to walk away from that. And to me, I truly believe in my heart that's where you deserve to be. I believe it's a opportunity that shouldn't have been taken away from you. With it being put out there like that, what are your thoughts on my thoughts?
Man, yeah, you're right. You're right. I feel like I should be able to compete in that level. I feel like I can compete in that level, and I will compete in that level one day. And it's just taken me a little bit longer to get there, but it's going to make it that much sweeter, you know. And it's making me work a little harder, but it's going to make for a good book. And you know. And maybe it was a little bit too premature, you know. It kind of caught me off guard. I didn't know I was on the radar so early. Now it kind of got my the ball rolling even more, training harder and knowing that I am really, you know, I thought I was ready for the next step, but I didn't know that other people thought I was ready for the next step. So now I feel like I'm preparing for not just, you know, make it on the scene. I'm actually trying to, you know, disrupt the scene. I want people to know who I am, and I think I can make a run at the top, especially a belt contender. I think I can fight in top 10, 15 right now.
I would disagree with you, and you know, going back even back to Bellator 150, I think you hit a lot of people's radar then. I think you were already on it, but I think you totally made a tremendous impact on the sport with that outing. And, you know, when you look at it in that reference, that's where I was going with it. Because, you know, Kyle, you've been in my life for a long time, and we know there's trials and tribulations in life. We know in setbacks and different things. But the avenue that you've taken, maybe you weren't ready for the contender, is truly, it's admirable on your part, because you're under James Krause over there at Glory. You know, when you sit back and you think about the avenues in life that we have to walk, how has James Krause been able to guide Kyle Knoblett in the right direction?
Man, he's been that older brother for me. You know, the tough love. He's helped me just keep pushing and just like the Bible says. He says, God tells us not worry about tomorrow, because today has enough worries of its own. And that's kind of how I've taken it, you know. I just kept going to the gym and kept pushing. And look, now I'm headlining for LFA, and a lot of fighters from LFA have went to the UFC. So I'm not expecting any less. And I'm gonna go out there and make a statement. September 1st. I promise you that.
Well, I can bet on that. You know, like I said, I've known you for a long time, but I started hearing the hum and the buzz about your abilities after Bellator 150. You went out there, you had a tremendous outing, and you really haven't disappointed anybody ever since. You know, when you speak to you, you're a very quiet, humble man in life. You can tell this sport is very near and passionate to you. You know, from your family to, you know, your walk in life, you exude the sport. You know, so looking at September 1st, you know, this is a huge step in the growth of Kyle James Noblett. How do you perceive it, and how will you take the future if it does go your way?
I mean, that's what I'm planning on going my way. So I just feel like it's just going to open more doors for me. And, you know, I got to be able to finish some top level guys and to really stick out. And I feel like I'll do that. And I feel like I will get a call for another bigger organization.
Now, Kyle, you work with some of the best in the sport. You know, we've talked about this on other shows. You work with James Krause, Zach Cummings, Marco Hutch, Yazan Haji. The list goes on, Tim Elliott, and more. You know, how relevant is it for you to have such a stable of fighters to train with, to gain knowledge from, you know, just to critique you and get that brotherhood and family advice that a fighter needs when he steps into the octagon?
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, everybody's down to help each other, and we stay after practice and really just bullshit and talk about different situations and that we've been in fights and everything else and how we got out of them, and then we're able to start, you know, drilling some stuff, and it'll be 30 minutes after practice. You know, this is how we are. We're always trying to get better. And then, like, you know, we see something cool move on YouTube, we'll send it to each other and stuff like that. So it's awesome. It's an amazing family here at Glory, and we're getting ready to get into our new spot too. So it's going to be even bigger for even more people to come out and check us out and become part of the family too. Cause man, over here at Glory, I'm telling you, everybody's humble. Nobody's has a chip on their shoulder, and everybody give the last shirt off the back over at Glory. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's what initially, you know, I've known everybody there forever, but I've never actually went, you know, back in the day, I hadn't shot there yet. And I went, and I have to say, like you, man, I walked away going, that's got to be the coolest gym out of the thousands of gyms that I've been in. That has to be the coolest gym I've been in. Everybody checks their ego at the door. Nobody thinks they're any better than anybody else. And it was just a different vibe than any other place I ever had. So Glory captured my heart at that point in time in my life. And then it just works out that some of the fighters there I've known for years, as yourself. You know, going back in life, I've noticed one thing about your career that is tremendous, and I truly appreciate it. And that's the family backing, that you get the support from your family. How detrimental is it to a fighter as yourself that is getting ready to truly make history in his career to have that type of support?
Man, it's – I don't think words can describe it. You know, a lot of people – oh, not a lot of people. There's fighters out there that don't have that family support, and they still train. They still push through it, and props to them. But then there's a time in life that it's hard, and they don't have that backbone to help you keep pushing. You know, maybe they have to go out to work or not, you know, take off some practices to get through life. You know, but me, man, God has blessed me with an amazing support group, my family, my wife, and they let me live my dream, and they don't ask any more from me but just to give it my all. And that's why I've been training full time since, especially the last 5 years. I've done nothing but 2 days the last 5 years, but I've been training since right out of high school in 2008, and I haven't had a full time job since. But I've had some injuries, motorcycle wreck and stuff like that, some trials and tribulations that got me where I'm at. But man, yeah, my family, my wife, my support group, I don't know where I'd be without them, tell you the truth. They're and people know my background, you know. That's kind of like Tyrone Woodley had a video the other day that, man, it touched me so much. He quit fighting to prove all the haters wrong. He started fighting for the people that loved him and supported him, and that's exactly what I'm doing now. You know, I'm fighting for the ones that I love, not the haters. You know, they help push me. You know, I thank them for that. But I can fight way harder for the ones I love than the ones that I want to prove wrong.
Amen. You know, because it's weird because I'm not a fighter myself, but yet I have to live with that certain aspect too. You know, as my show grows and grows, and next month we go into syndication. You know, throughout my career, I've learned to deal with people that hate me, and you're right, they do motivate you. At the same time, I don't answer back to that. So, you know, I've seen a similar video, not from Tyrone, but from another fighter. And, you know, it's so true. You know, now I find these days when people remove themselves as my friend from Facebook or I lose followers, it's like it just made room for people that truly cared and truly respect the sport the way that I do. You know, going back to when you were a young man, Kyle, I met you a long time ago. I saw a gentleman that was full of piss and vinegar, a guy that truly loved what he was doing, but was still kind of a knucklehead. And now we jumped to current day, and you know, there was a huge transition in your life that has brought you to this point. You not only are a very articulated fighter, you're probably one of the top in your weight class in my mind that is up and coming. Who would you say turn the tides for Kyle? Who would you say, if you look back over your shoulder, which person or persons, you know, finally made you realize it's better to live your life as a knucklehead in the octagon than it is in the streets?
Man, tell you the truth, I think God did. I think God helped me. I'm a religious guy, and He's been trying to get my attention for a while, and but He helped show me that through my parents and my support group that I have today. And it's my little brother and sister. I wanted to be remembered as a good person, someone that went out there and gave it his all. And I think I'm doing that. And I think it helped me get back on the right track. You know, you had to hit rock bottom. And when you hit rock bottom, you know, a broken heart is ready to be amended and to be built back up. And that's what happened.
Now, you're set to face Bruneau September 1st. I watched a little bit of video. I wasn't too particularly familiar with your opponent. But what I did see, I failed to see the same comparison in style and ability that I see in you, Kyle. And some people will say, Don, you're being biased. You know, honestly, I'm not being biased. I'm being completely honest here. In my opinion, this is a fight that is perfectly made for you. What are your thoughts, Kyle?
Absolutely. I think anywhere it goes, I'm better in every aspect in this game than he is. So I'm not worried about it. And I'm not going to force anything. I'm just going to take whatever comes at me. I'm not going to be showboating, nothing like that, because he's still a fighter. He's still stepping in there, and he's still wanting to sit there and fight me. So I got to respect him, because shoot, I wouldn't want to step in the cage with me, you know? So I'm going to respect him, but I'm going to finish him in the first round. I know I will. I just don't know how. I got too many tools, and you guys are just going to have to wait and see.
You know, I will admit, you know, for the size of a guy that you are, I have never seen anybody that size be so dominant on the ground. And then your striking ability is just impeccable. One thing I like about your striking ability, and I'm not sure where you ascertained most of that, whether it be at Glory or just throughout your career, but one thing I love about when you strike is you're not like most fighters. You don't put your head out there or you don't lean forward, but yet you've got this reach that is just incredible, you know, that you don't see with most fighters in your weight class. Would you say that gives you that an unfair advantage in each and every outing?
Yeah, absolutely. Just me being able to control my body like I do, yeah, I think it gives me a huge aspect, huge advantage. I used to be 350 pounds, so I move well. Yes, I'm long, I'm fast, I got great cardio. I'm super strong because I used to be 350. And, yeah, I think I have a huge advantage. And I think, you know, I did have a pretty good boxing coach back in Springfield. They helped me out, got me started. But, man, as soon as I got up here to Glory, Zach Cummings and James Krause have just, man, they just remade me. And they've helped me a lot. And especially James has made me slow down and really work on technique of my striking and, move to be moving in the right direction, not just be moving, you know. And it's, man, it's really coming together. I'm loving it.
It truly has. And one thing, you know, I'll be honest with you, it's harder for me sometimes to interview friends because it's a friend, you know, I get stuttered sometimes because it's like, oh my God, I'm interviewing a friend because, you know, I appreciate your abilities and this and that. And sometimes it throws me off a little bit. But when you look at the life of Kyle Knoblett, it's truly a statement of, you now you know what you're fighting for. And if most people don't know you, they probably say, well, everybody says that. But no, to look at where you came from, Kyle, to Bellator 150, to, you know, being able to have such a lovely wife and the backing of your family, I think now in life, I think the transition for you that truly turned you around is now you know what you're fighting for.
Absolutely.
I see it, bro, and I'm so proud of you because I think a lot of people think they understand life. I think they understand hardship, but they truly can't grasp it at a young age like you have. And you've been through, you know, your own, like we talked about, your own fair shares of trials and tribulations. What does it mean to you to have such a beautiful wife in life and now know what you're fighting for? How would you say it's defined Kyle Knoblett as a man?
How has it defined me as a man? It gave me something to live for. As long as I have them in my life, I don't need anything else. And I didn't used to think that way, you know. I wanted to be the Joneses. I needed everything in the world, and I wanted all the top of the line stuff. I don't want any of that right now. I don't want any of that. I just want to have my family, and that's all I want to get out of this sport too, is make a name for myself and really just to be able to provide for my family. And I see other people doing it, and I don't know why I can't. You know, we're all human. So, yeah.
I'm sorry, bro. I go Barbara Walters sometimes. You know, I had Laura Sanko on the show, and I asked her a question, and I stumped her. And she said, damn you, Don, you're better, you know. You know, I'm a journalist, and you stump me. I said, you're the one that gets paid for it, not me. But, you know,
right.
Well, it's different when you, like I said, when you interview friends, because we do have a bond in life, and, you know, most people don't realize that, but they do by now. But the thing of it is for me, and I could speak for all the people in the 417, it has truly been an honor to watch somebody like yourself grow up to be the warrior that you are, you know, to truly represent the sport in the fashion that you do. And you and I both agree that it probably wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for the strength of Glory and the strength of your family. Now, moving into the future, you know, sometimes we kind of get motivated in different aspects. And if Kyle Noblett could put down a statement on a piece of paper, let's say, you know, for people to put in a time capsule to open 10, 15 years from now, what statement would Kyle Noblett write down on that piece of paper for future generations to look back and realize what type of individual you were in life and in the cage?
I had this saying said to me on top of the roof when I was roofing right before I started my weight cut. And I was telling these guys, you know, I'm getting ready to make a lifestyle change. And I talked to this guy, and he's like, you can do it, but you got to want it. And that's what I would put in the bottle. You can have anything in life that you want, but you got to want it. Because if you really want it, you'll really work for it.
Amen to that. You know, this fight, September 1st, is truly a stepping stone in many aspects for you. I mean, this is your future, truly all in one fight. And, you know, a lot of, you know, fighters will say, well, you could say that about every fight. Every fight is just as important. But in your case, this fight truly is the next step in the making of Kyle Noblett. You know, what type of thoughts have been running into your mind leading up to this next war? I mean, sometimes we sit back and we ponder different aspects of life, but what has been going through the mind of Kyle Noblett?
The Eminem song, "You Only Got One Shot," you know, and that's what I've been thinking about, and I'm going to go out there and capture it. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not going to be hesitant. No one ever has seen this Kyle Noblett that's going to come out September 1st, and I can't wait to show everybody.
I can't wait either, because I've watched the transformation, and I know one thing. You know, and I hope you don't get mad at me about saying this, but, you know, as a photographer, I'm my own worst critic. You know, some people will say they love a picture and I'll delete it because I don't like it. You know, and you look at you, Kyle, and I'm not going to make the statement on the air because I believe that statement stays between me and you. But at one point in time, you weren't happy with certain aspects of Kyle Noblett, and I seen you slowly transition, and the more you did, it kind of, I seen a change in you. And now that I'll go ahead and let this part out. You posted a picture, or it was on a picture, and you said, now you can see my six-pack. What has it meant for you to be able to get in the condition you are now? Because I know in the past, you've always looked at yourself different, but now, dude, you're just ripped. You know, yeah. How does it feel that you made that transition and you're where you're at now?
Man, it feels amazing. I feel like I can do anything, you know. I was huge. I was 350 pounds fat, you know. I had a motorcycle wreck. I hit a car going over 100 miles an hour on a crotch rocket on the way back from practice and gained 75 pounds and just fat. Couldn't do anything for a year. And I got with my boxing coach, and he's like, we can get some weight off you. I got down like 255, and he's like, oh, you can get down 205. And I'm like, I didn't believe him. And I about 20 more pounds came off, and I got asked to fight at 205. I'm like, I'm going to do it. And I never thought I could get abs. And I talked to a nutritionist, and they said, you know, abs are made in the kitchen, not in the gym. So if you want 100% out of your workout, you better start eating right. And that's what I did. And man, I've just – it's been a lifestyle change. 5 years. 5 years ago, I was 350 pounds, and to this day, I'm still, you know, keeping 100 pounds off me easily. I'm 215 today. So,
yeah
it's an amazing feeling.
So you're stepping in at 205, so you still have, what, 10 pounds to go on the cut?
Say that again. You cut out.
I said, are you stepping in at 205? And I said, if so, you still have 10 pounds on the cut, correct?
Yeah, correct. But I got 2 gallons of water. I mean, it's going to be easy to cut.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be there.
Well, you're training out of glory. That cut will happen. If you don't mind me, you know, asking, because, you know, whatever nutritionist you've used has done a tremendous job. You know, if you'd like to give the gentleman credit, who would that be?
Jeff Mays. He's a guy that I wrestled with in high school. Best friend, grew up with him and his brother, and his dad was sitting there yelling at us every day too, or every Saturday and Tuesday and Thursday for duels. And yeah, I grew up wrestling with him. He weighed 135 pounds in high school, and he's about 185 pounds now, just jacked. And yeah, I'll talk to him about my diet, and he's tweaked it ever since. And yeah, I feel great right now. I bet I will actually only have to cut 5 pounds a day before.
Damn, that's not much at all. And you look tremendous, no. You know. When you sit down and you prepare for fight week, of course, you know, I know James Cross quite well. I know he likes to have, you know, that personal one-on-one with his fighters. What type of message or what type of advantage does those speeches and those motivational talks from James Cross give you stepping into the octagon?
Man, he's been through it. James is one of the most intelligent, or he's probably the most intelligent fighter I've actually met. And that mental warfare he really works on, and that's what he helps us with helps us prepare. It's amazing to have somebody at that level and that's still competing, you know, and still competing at the highest level to this day, you know. So, yeah, you can't put a price on those speeches, that's for sure.
You know, I think with James, I think it's weird because I can argue with him on the phone, I can yell at him on the phone, but when I'm in his presence, I'm dumbfounded because, and I'm 51 years old, and I've shot just about every athlete in the sport, and I stand around James, and this guy's so, you know, full of wisdom and knowledge, and it just reeks off him, and you just, you know, you find yourself dumbfounded. I had Zach Cummings on the show one time, and Zach said, "Bro, I even find myself when I'm standing next to him, I'm at a loss for words. I don't know what to say to him." You know, it's like, James is a 170-year-old man in a 32-year-old man's body. You know, that's the only thing I can
Absolutely.
Think of. The guy is just, he's on point. You know, a lot of people in the sport, they look at him and they critique him. They say, "He's a pretty boy. He's egotistical." Mm-hmm. Well, if that's your thought, then you truly don't know James Krause. You know,
right.
Kyle, that's the truth. You know, Kyle, when you look back at, you know, the beginning from, you know, the wrestling days and the knucklehead days, and you look back over your shoulder now, did you ever think in your heart and in your mind that you would be where you're at now in the sport?
Absolutely not. That was part of me being a knucklehead. I was sitting in a garage at 22 going woulda, shoulda, coulda, drinking every night. And I went through those trials and tribulations, and I was like, well, let's see what I can become. And look where I'm at now, and I still think the sky's the limit. I don't think I'm anywhere close to being done. I think I'm just now getting started. And it's unbelievable. God, and it's because of God's grace. God is we got such a powerful God, and that's the only reason why I'm able to do what I'm doing and being able to talk to you today.
Yeah, you know, and I'll second that because you know what I've been through in life, and I'm not going to sit there and go through everything. And bro, it's like this last surgery I went into, they said I probably wasn't going to wake up from it. And so I did a post announcing my retirement from the sport because, I mean, I'm only going to go off what these doctors for the past 11 years have taken care of me and saved my life multiple times. You know, they straight up said, "You're going to die if you don't get this done, but you're probably not going to wake up if you do." And so I know what it means to have that ultimate faith and just rely and put everything in God's hands because, first and foremost, I'm not even a whole man. And we talked about this before we went on the air. I just had a surgery and I shot a fight Saturday. You know, I've always believed in, you know, if you sit in bed and you think about it and dwell about it, that's where you're going to end up and you're going to die.
Absolutely.
And I've always, you know, in my heart, from watching you guys and learning from you guys that, you know, no matter what happens in a war, You know, tomorrow's another day. You pick up and you prepare for the next. And that's what I've done in my life. And it's enabled me to pick up and continue. And matter of fact, I feel better now than I probably have in 10, 12 years. It's incredible. And then to be able to see you this last Saturday at the Ozarks Combat League, I mean, Kyle, I'll be honest, man. You looked in tremendous shape. You looked happier than you ever have been. You know, how hard is it for you to fight in your own backyard, knowing that, you know, there's so much that, you know, is acquired in the Springfield area. There's so much ignorance in my part. I'll say it in my part. There's a lot of ignorance in this area. But how beneficial is it for you to have somebody like LFA come and bring a tremendous promotion to the area and allow you to fight in your own backyard?
Man, it's amazing because September 1st, you're going to see that through all my trials and tribulations, you're going to see all my fans that I have that still want to see me succeed. And it's awesome. I think people are going to be talking about it. I think I got over 100 people coming already. That's just picked up tickets for me. That's not even ordered tickets online. So it's going to be a blowout show. That's for sure.
You know, it's kind of weird because I shot the last RFA, and then they were absorbed by LFA. So, you know, obviously they've seen the potential for this area to bring fights, and I think it's tremendous because it gives warriors like you an opportunity to show the area, the people that know you, what the sport is about, and how it's done with integrity, and to be able to go and cheer on their favorite fighters. I know for a fact, you asked me, was I going to be there at this event? I plan on it. I would don't want to miss it for anything in the world. The only thing that I have to look at my schedule, but if I can be there, bro, I'm not going to miss this fight. I didn't miss Marco's fight there in RFA, and I'm not going to miss your fight. You know, come September 1st, honestly, I think LFA is going to be surprised. I think the world's going to be surprised. If Kyle Noblett had to make a statement to the people that have never seen him fight, to his fans, to my listeners, about why they should be at LFA on September 1st, what would that statement be?
Well, I don't know. I'm at a loss for words. The statement, I think the statement would be just eyes open because don't blink. Usually my fights don't come out in the first round.
Yeah. Can we expect another Bellator 150?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm down to fight for Bellator whenever they give me a call.
No, I mean, can we expect another, what was it, 46 seconds?
Oh, 57. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Oh.
I'm gonna come in and put pressure on him.
Straight blasted him. Yeah. That, honestly, man, that fight, you know, actually that fight card, before I let you go here real quick, because I know you've been in training all night, but if you look at that fight and it's all, Glory had more than that. But the two tremendous warriors that I'll speak of tonight about Bellator 150 was Julian and you. And you look at the fight that Julian had with Chris Harris, it was absolutely probably one of the top five wars of the year for me. I've never seen two fighters just stand toe-to-toe in the pocket and just bang, and neither one of them gave up for 15 minutes. So it was just like this incredible war for me. And then you fight, and it's just complete annihilation. You know, when a team has those types of tremendous nights, what does it do? Because most people don't understand if, you know, there's more than one fighter from a gym on a card and they have a tremendous night like that, what does it do for you guys and thought and moving forward?
Man, it's an amazing feeling. And we're going to have the same feeling September 1st. I got two of the teammates fighting on this card, and Trey and Yasmin. And man, it's we're all right there on the verge of making it to that, making that next step, you know? And, yeah, it's just an amazing feeling, you know, you surround yourself by the best, you know, you're going to become the best. This is how it is.
Amen to that. You know, I honestly didn't know Yaz was going to fight on the card, and I saw it just earlier today that Trey was going to be on it. And those are two tremendous fighters in their own right. You know,
absolutely.
Kyle, when we look back in life, there's a lot of people that we, you know, that help us along the way and give us greater, you know, respect and appreciation in life. And I know we have a mutual friend that has truly backed you, you know, for the better part of your career, and that being Steven Espinoza. What is having relationships like that? You know, because a lot of people sometimes don't give credit to their sponsors as they should, but, you know, Steven is kind of more than a sponsor in each and every fighter's life that he touches. How would you say that that's helped you on this, you know, where you're at and succeeding?
Man, just having people like that that stuck through me thick and thin, it's amazing. And yeah, Steven, with Premier Pond, I was actually talking to him today. He said he wasn't going to miss the fight either. So, yeah, it's people like that. It's you can't put a price on their friendship either, because they're not just someone that's helped me. They're friends. They're my family, you know?
Ladies and gentlemen, September 1st, Legacy Fighting Alliance, the beginning of the destiny of Kyle Noblett is going to take place that night. If you're smart, you'll get tickets before the event sells out. Now, Kyle, where could people get tickets now if they haven't gotten them already that are in the Springfield-Branson area?
Well, you could always Facebook message me at Kyle Noblett, and you could also go to Pumpers Princeton LLC. It's on Grant and Sunshine in Springfield, Missouri, right by Bass Pro. They have tickets on hand there too. You can also go to cagetix.com and click on my name and get the tickets through there also.
You know, I look forward to it. I truly do. I think it's going to be a sensational night for Glory, as Glory truly does deserve it. I'm going to try to get up to Glory before, you know, your fight. I don't know if I'm going to be able to, but, you know, with a new gym opening, you kind of talked about it earlier, how hard has that been with training camp and everything, and with the transition going on, or has it impeded anybody in any manner?
No, it's not hard at all. We still got the other gym completely up and going, so as soon as we get the other gym ready to move into, well, we actually have all new stuff coming to that gym. So everything is still in this old gym, and it hasn't slowed me down at all. And actually, it's given me some humility, because I went over there and helped paint it, and it just kind of you know, leveled me back down. And it gave me time to meditate and stuff like that in between practices. And then me and James get mitt sessions in together. And so, I mean, it hasn't slowed me down at all.
You know, it's funny because, you know, like when Tam did this transition, you know, some of the fighters said, you know, it's a bit of a headache. But, you know, James, like I said, James is smart, and he always has a counteractive
plan
to keep things going. You know, Kyle, like I said, I'm going to let you get here because I know you've been in training all night. You know, on this final statement, you know, I just truly want to say that I look at your career, and it's one that I seen coming. You know, I think the future is tremendous for you. I'm glad that you found a tremendous, you know, wife, and you found God, and you found the true calling and what life really means to you. I think you're getting a better understanding of it. I think you're going to have a tremendous night come September 1st, along with your teammates, and I think it's going to be a great night for the Springfield-Branson area, you know, all together. I think it's going to be, you know, the next stepping stone in the making of Kyle Noblett. At this point in time, Kyle, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. Any friends, family, any social media sites, or just anything else you would like to add to the program? The floor is yours, my friend.
Absolutely, yeah. I want to thank my sponsors, Steven Espinoza with Premier Pond, and Trevor Collins with Trevor Collins Tattoo. Also want to thank my mother at Pumpers Princeton, She's always been there, always been a big supporter. If you guys need any T-shirts, embroidery done, or signs, you can go to her. Also, Jeffrey Chavez at Catalyst Sports Academy. He's been a tremendous tremendous friend throughout the year, and just like my nutritionist too, Jeff Mays. I want to thank those guys. And don't miss it. We're going to show you why the Midwest is the best on September 1st. And I can't wait for you guys to come out and watch me and my teammates do what we do best.
Yeah, you know, first and foremost, I want to wish you the best of luck. And if I don't get to see Yaz or Trey before the fight, wish them well for me. You know, Kyle, I do get kind of, it's weird. I got nervous on tonight's interview with you, and I feel I didn't give you the best interview I possibly can, which is unusual for me, but I'm thinking about it. If I screw up, how big you are, and I don't want to get punched, bro.
No. I think it went just fine.
Yeah, I appreciate it because, you know, I've had Joplin on, I've had Yaz on, I've had almost everybody from the gym on, but I started thinking about it. I said, if I take Kyle the wrong angle, or he doesn't understand something, he's like four times my size. I don't think I want the hell beat out of me that bad. You know, my brother, I love you. I wish you the best of luck come to, you know, September 1st. You know, no matter what's on my schedule, I'll mark it off, and I give you my word. I'll be there. I'll get with the promotion and see what we, you know, I could work out with them. Maybe I can do a live feed from there. Or just, I'll just be there no matter what. You can count on that. I wish you the best of luck, my friend. I think the future is in your hands, and you hold the key. With that being said, I love you, and I wish you the best of luck, my friend.
I appreciate it, Don.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Have a good night. God bless.
You too.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Kyle James Malvitt, which is weird for me. I don't get nervous. But I was nervous during that interview. You know, Kyle is walking around 215 pounds. I might weigh a buck 50, a buck 60, soaking wet. I've known Kyle since he was a young man, and I know what he's capable of. And I'd like to keep both my arms attached to my body as I use them to make a living. You know, this fight that's going to happen September 1st, you know, you hear him mention Yazan Haja. The guy's a freaking ninja. He's a ninja through and through. I mean, this guy's incredible, as with all the glory fighters. Then you talk about Trey Ogden. Got a formidable ground game, tremendous striking. He's the full package. Then you look at Kyle James Noblet. I mean, don't take my word for it. Go look at the video from Bellator 150, and you'll see that this gentleman truly is a freaking beast. He's an incredible warrior with a bright future, and he's got a tremendous backing, and I expect nothing but the best from him. With that being said, you can catch me tomorrow, one-on-one special with Benito Lopez out of Team Alpha Male. Man, this kid is tremendous. Come off the UFC Contender Series. I'm sure he'll have a lot to talk about. He'll probably talk about his family first because that's the type of individual he is. And I truly love the kid, and I'm going to give him the best interview I can possibly. I'm not afraid of him because he's 2,300 miles away. On that note, I want to thank Finished MMA Juan Martinez. You know, as we get ready to transition into syndication, my days are long, and I'm very tired, as you can tell in my voice. You know, we've got a lot going, but if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't exist. The 86ers.net for truly just being there. Freddie and Alfred, families are what it's about, and you're for the right cause, and, you know, much love on that level. Affliction and the United Way Merced, you know, one team, one dream, baby. You know, when we bring it all together, nobody has an ego. As you heard Kyle say, that's the way it is at Glory. Everybody checks their ego at the door. Nobody feels they're better than anybody else, and that is a true statement, 100%. You know, on that note, I want to thank each and every one of you. Tonight has been a tremendous night. The show was thrown together at last minute, so I apologize for the late link and things. But be sure to check out Kyle Noblet, the main card, LFA, September 1st, Branson, Missouri, at the Hilton Hotel and Convention Center. It's a fight you truly don't want to miss. On that note, You have a good night, and God bless.
My man Nelly, Murph Lee, Puff Daddy, Off the bad boy, part two.